someone has designated June as Gay Pride Month. You know, the word gay is actually a farce in itself. I don't call them gay. I call them homosexual. Because gay is not really a description. If you really got inside the hearts of these folks, they would be described as anything but gay. You know, gay, joyful or happy on the inside. There's a lot of misery there. And then that idea for pride, for I figure for most, it's not even an inner reality. You know, because if you're in sin, even if your conscience has been seared and your conscience is not right and you're not right with God, I still think most people still have an inner sense of what is right or wrong because of their conscience. So I think even when you call it Gay Pride Month, pride isn't really a word that describes most of them, although I'm sure some, you know, in what they should be ashamed of, they are proud of it, some. And the liberal media machine will turn a group of 10 into a crowd of thousands. Did you catch that? Isn't that true? As they celebrate and parade up a street and celebrate what God calls a lifestyle of abomination. That's not the topic of what we're going to be looking at tonight, but it's related to the topic. And we need to remember whenever we see these gay pride flags or these great gay pride parades up and down streets, and as the news covers it, we need to keep in mind that, and we always need to keep this in mind, we need to love the sinner. Love the sinner, hate the sin. Love the sinner, hate the sin. You know, folks that are entrapped in that lifestyle, now it's their choice, obviously, but they really are victims. They're not the enemy. They're victims of the enemy. The old devil has tricked them into that. But you know what? As I thought about, you know, we've been talking about in this series of heaven, on heaven, talking about the glories of heaven. The glories of heaven. Then subtitled, Behold, I Make All Things New. You know, there'll not be any protests in favor of any evil in heaven. Now, think about that. There'll be no, you know, Ryan is getting to be an expert, I think, at recognizing protesters up here in Washington, D.C., because he sees a lot of it. You know, he'll say that I saw this group or that group, and they're protesting or handing out literature or something all the time there in D.C., but there'll not be any protests for evil in D.C. You know why that is? We'll all be on the same page, and we'll be right because we'll be right with God in a perfect way, right? There'll not be any murderers in heaven. Present murderers. Now I'll explain that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. There'll not be false religions and cults in heaven. There will not be those who laugh at Christianity in heaven. There will not be witches or warlocks and those who worship the devil in heaven as far as at that present time. And there will not be any liars in heaven. Isn't that good? One of my pet peeves is people that play loose with the truth. You know, some of them will just bold-faced lie, and that bothers me a lot too, but people just kind of, you know, exaggerate a little bit here and exaggerate there. And you know, I think we as Christians need to be children of truth, right? We have the spirit of truth living inside of us, so we better make sure we're telling. Believe me, lying is a big deal. But, you know, we're speaking to those who persist in these sins. When we talked about murderers and liars and all that, won't be in heaven. We're speaking to those who persist in these sins and never repent and trust Jesus as their Savior. They'll not be in heaven with us because they never got saved, but rather they continued in their sins without ever recognizing Jesus as their Savior. Therefore, in heaven, we will experience, this is point number 7 if you're writing them all down, new company. New company. In fact, we'll be perfect and all those around us will be perfect as well. Can you believe that Pastor Steve will someday be perfect? He said, boy, that's a real stretch, but it's really going to happen. Again, the series, The Glories of Heaven, Behold, I Make All Things New. Point number 1, just quick review, the new heaven and new earth. I'm thankful. thankful for that. It will be new. The old earth is going to burn the elements with a fervent heat, the Bible says. Secondly, we will have a new Jerusalem. That's heaven proper, according to verse 2 of chapter 21 of Revelation. We'll have a new interaction with God. The tabernacle of God is with men. He'll dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. So a brand new interaction with God. He'll be right there among us. Fourthly, a new standard of living. This is really good stuff. There'll be no tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying, and no pain. I vote for that right now. What do you think? Number five, a new everything. He says, behold, I make all things new. Everything will be new to us. And it will be new in the sense that perpetually new. I don't think anything in heaven will get old, do you? In the last couple of weeks, we've looked at a new inheritance out of verses 6 and 7. He says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And one of the points we looked at, I think, last week, this inheritance is an eternal inheritance. I'm thankful for that. You know, 1,000 years, if we were there even 1,000,000 years, you know, somebody would keep track of that, right? And someone would have a big calendar of her marking through the days. You'd think, oh, one less day. We don't have to worry about that because our inheritance is forever. Tonight, number 7, new company. New company. Notice what it says in verse 8. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable. Now, it's been talking about heaven. But then it jumps to this subject. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you see why I call it new company? Because in this world, we have a lot of company that, to be honest with you, some of them are downright evil. And I mean, you don't have to be around people very much anymore. And I know some of you in the workplace, I'm sure it's a real problem for your Christianity to be among a lot of these people, because it's like blankety, blankety, blank, blank, blank. And you just want to say, man, here's a bar of soap. Clean your mouth out with it. And the profanities and the things that, and the stories they tell, sometimes hopefully you can get away from hearing it, but things like that and the lifestyles and the evil. But there'll be none of that. We'll have a brand new company. Everybody there will be saved. Everybody there will be a God follower, and a Jesus is one that saved them. And everybody there will be happy and joyful, and everything will be good. It's even hard for us to imagine that, isn't it? Wow. But you know, as it talks about these ones that will not be there in heaven, I really appreciate in verse 6, just two verses before that, we talked about that when we covered it. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Do you know, God is not willing for anybody to be lost. God's desire is not for anybody to be lost. And you, as you go down here and it's talking about heaven and the glories of heaven and everything new. And then it says, guess what? The invitation is still open. And then he says, he that overcometh shall inherit all these things. And then he says, these are the ones who won't be there. Now, is God's desire for these people to be there to get saved? You see, in their continual lifestyle that's described here, they're showing that they're not a God follower. They're showing that they've never been saved. Does that make sense? It's not teaching a work salvation. So, well, they're bad works, so they're going to go to hell. No, they never recognized that there were bad works. And they never recognized their need to repent and turn to God. And it gives us a list. It gives us a list here. This list of sinners that are continuing in their sin, therefore are showing that they are truly unrepentant, unsaved, and unregenerated. The first one is fearful. Fearful. Probably speaking of the cowardly who did not even have the courage to stand up for Christ and to accept Christ as their Savior. And then it says the unbelieving. Now, they never got around to believing in Jesus. The abominable. I found it interesting that word actually means polluted. refers to those indulged in sin, and they were polluted in mind and spirit and in body. Boy, doesn't that describe a lot of people? I mean, it's hard to imagine what a lot of people are even into today. And then they come and act somewhat normal. I think we have a lot of people that are on drugs that wouldn't even suspect. Because they're on drugs, but they try to live a normal life in the day, but they're addicted probably a lot of times to prescription drugs and things like that. I think it would probably amaze us of how much time is wasted in games, gaming. That's a big thing. I mean, people ruin their lives just, they live in the basement playing games. It's like, man, why play a game? Go out and live life. I think there's a lot of people that we wouldn't even suspect that's in demon worship. And they're not going to come up to you, especially if they know you're a Christian, and say, oh, well, I wanted to share with you, I worship the devil. But there's a lot of people that are polluted with the things of this world. Then it goes and says murderers. Of course, that's pretty obvious, taking in others' life. And then it says whoremongers. It's interesting that the Greek word there is pornois. Where it comes from the word pornos. Does that sound like pornography? You know, it's kind of a related thing there. It's really speaking of improper sexual behavior. It's sometimes translated fornicator. Fornicator. And let me tell you, if you are hooked on pornography, you are not pleasing God with that sin. The problem we have is we're constantly bombarded with bad stuff. I'd encourage you, if you're struggling with that, any of you, to be accountable to someone. To someone who will say, hey, how you doing in that area? It is an addiction, just like drugs are addiction. And a lot of the same people that would be saying, I can't believe someone's hooked on drugs. I can't believe someone's hooked on alcohol. They're hooked on pornography. And it's not an accident that whoremongers, basically pornography, similar to that word that contribute as part of that word pornography, will lead to sexual behavior that's not pleasing to God. You know, sin will take you further than you ever thought it would, and it'll cost you a whole lot more than you ever thought it would. And then the next one is sorcerers. Sorcerers. Now, this word, kind of interesting here too. Let's see. Pharmakeios. Pharmakeios. It kind of sounds like pharmacy. The sorcerers. Now, there's a relation to like a druggist or a poisoner or by extension a magician. Someone devoted to magical arts through drugs, pretty bad when I can't read my own writing, isn't it? Spells and enchantments and things like that. Now, it's kind of interesting that that word is related to pharmacy. And drugs are a lot of people are into drugs, and it can lead to all this basically poisons and things that people get into, magical arts, sorcerers. Then idolaters, that's the worshiper of idols, and there's plenty of idols around today. I don't know too many people that have little statues in their yard or on their mantle, but boy, we're going over the Word of God. We have the freedom to do it. A lot of people have the health to do it. A lot of people call themselves Christians. So why isn't this place filled up tonight? There's a lot of idols out there. People are more concerned about worshiping that little idol out there than they are about serving the true God. And then it says, all liars. Those that are untrue, that is erroneous, deceitful, wicked people. Okay? They'll not. Their destination is not heaven. But it tells us right there, it says, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with what? Fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Which is the second death. Now, have you ever wondered why this is included right there? Why is this included in this description of heaven? I mean, you're going through good, 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 good. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And boom. The these folks will not be there. I think it's kind of shocking, isn't it, to find it there? But the truth is the truth, right? I think there's probably two reasons it's included right here as a warning. As a warning. You know, someone has lost their reading about heaven. Isn't that good? And then boom, smack, right in the face. You know, I've not accepted Jesus, therefore I'm in this lifestyle. I'm not repentant of these lifestyles. And then also, I believe it's there for us. I really think so. Because we have been saved from many of these sins, right? God saved us and changed us. So we're new creatures, right? But there's a whole lot of people out there that we would like to see enjoy heaven. So I believe it's there as a warning to us to say, guess what? You only got this much time. You better be telling people about Jesus. Because the reality is, those that are saved are going to heaven, but those that are lost, never trusted Jesus, never repented of their sins, they're going to a lake of fire and brimstone. That is the second death. You know, if you just look back a little bit in Revelation chapter 20, this is the judgment of the people who have never trusted the Lord as Savior. Revelation 20, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment, okay? I'm going to read through those verses just like kind of like really quick, okay? But this is the judgment for people that are lost. And notice what it says. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. You see, God is on the throne. The Lord is on the throne. Okay? Y'all with me? Okay. Everybody look. Some are looking a little perplexed. Secondly, in verse 12, notice what it says. And I saw the dead, small and great. I would say in the eyes of the world, small and great. We got the up and inners and the down and outers. We got a bunch of people here at the great white throne judgment. I mean, I sincerely hope and pray that you don't find yourself at the great white throne judgment, because this is for the lost. And it says, the small and great stand before God, and the books were open. Now notice books were open. And it says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their work. So there's at least two books, right? You got a book that contains works. Now, when someone who is saved, what judgment do we go to? You get a star for the day if you come up with the right answer. Which one do we go to? We don't go to this one. But what's it called? What? The judgment seat of Christ. Now, when we're there, if we find ourselves there, we're saved, right? But what are we judged on? Our service, if you will, or our works, right? As far as how have we taken, not about whether we're saved or not, but according to our service. Now, this book here, it shouldn't surprise you that there's two books. The one book, I believe, is opened up, and it's what you've done in life. And I believe it will include, I don't know this for a fact, but I believe it will include every opportunity that person had to trust the Lord. And every one of us we talked about gospel tracts in our administrative board meeting and how, you know, it's having an impact, and different people have sometimes visited because they got a gospel tract. So be sure to give those things out. But I believe it, part of the works there, part of what a person has encountered and the opportunities they had to trust the Lord and how they threw their life away on all these other things. Now, for us as Christians, it's like, okay, I gifted you in this area, back to the judgment seat of Christ. I gifted you in this area. Why didn't you do this? And this is your service record. Why didn't you serve? And there'll be rewards or lack of rewards, right? And it says that your works may burn up like wood, hay, or stubble, but you'll be saved, but you're not going to have any rewards. So it's kind of like, to me, it's in a similar way. These people are lost. If you find yourself in this, you're lost. And it's not like that's not what's going to send you to hell, but they are going to open the book and say, hey, look at the opportunities you had. Look at the works that you did instead of turning your life over to Jesus. The second book that's mentioned is the book of life. The book of life. It's mentioned here, it says, which is the book of life, it's open. Look at verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the second book is the book of life. You say, what in the world is the book of life? We're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but let me just tell you, the book of life, I believe, according to Scripture, is the book that when you get saved, your name is recorded in that book. It's a record of all those who have trusted Jesus as their Savior. I'm thankful that my name is written in the book of life. And these people, probably as proof, they'll open the book and say, guess what? Your name is not in here. You never trusted Jesus as your Savior. And then it goes on in verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Now, when someone dies in this world, let me ask you this. When someone dies in this world today as a lost person, what happens to them? What happens to them? Now, for us, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the soul and spirit's got to go somewhere, right? It goes to hell too. It goes to hell immediately. Just for a Christian, it goes to heaven immediately. So they go to a place of punishment immediately. And when in verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were rejoining of a body, which is also an immortal body that will live forever. But really, die forever would be the better way to put it, will join with their soul and spirit, and they're at the great white throne judgment before the Lord. Everybody still with me? So everybody got it? I'm not confusing anybody. If you have a question, feel free. But it says there, they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Those who are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, as it's called, they're cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. You may have heard this before. I figure you have. You can be born once, which is a physical birth. You'll die twice. But if you're born twice, physical birth and born again as a Christian, you only die once. And that's just our physical death. We'll lay down this body and go and be with Jesus. Everybody heard that before? All right. That's good stuff, right? You see, these people will not be in heaven. You know, a lot of people, when you talk to them about heaven and hell, and maybe they're just trying to come up with excuses, and maybe some of them really believe this. But have you heard some people say, you know what, it's all right. I'm going to split hell wide open. And when I get down there, I'm going to have all my friends around me, and I'm going to have a party. And let me tell you, that person has not read the Bible. Because it's not a picnic, it's not a party, it's not a, well, it's not good, but it's not, it's horrible, okay? Now, the question I have for you, some people, and I've had one of the churches I pastored, we had someone wanting to join the church, but they didn't believe in hell as forever. They thought, and our constitution was pretty clear at that church too, as best I remember, that we believed in eternal hell. We believed in eternal punishment according to the Word of God. And they didn't believe. They thought that you were cast into hell, but then poof, you were burned up and that's that. But let me ask you, is hell forever? Now, I know this is not exactly the most uplifting message talking about heaven, but really, it is talking about new company because we're not going to have these folks there. But is hell forever? Now, just as sure as we will be in heaven forever, let me assure you that hell is forever as well. Several verses here. Revelation 20 and verse 10. Now, this is interesting. Revelation 20 and verse 10. You see, during the millennial reign of Christ, described in chapter 20, the beast and the false prophet are cast into what? The lake of fire. Okay? But Satan is cast into the bottomless pit, but he's let out for the at the end of the thousand-year reign, right? So at the end of the thousand-year reign, the devil is thrown into the lake of fire. Notice what this verse says. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Notice this, where the beast and the false prophet are. The sense of that verse is they're still there 1,000 years later. And notice it goes on, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Verse 10, Revelation 20, verse 10. And then if you got your Bibles, go back to Matthew 18:8. We'll try to hit these quicker, as quick as we can. Matthew 18 and verse 8. Matthew 18 and verse 8. So after 1,000 years, the beast and the false prophet are still there being tormented. And it says the devil will be tormented forever and ever. And if other people are thrown in, they'll be tormented forever and ever as well. Look at Matthew 18, verse 8. It says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into what? Everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. Now the point of that is, if something is holding you back, keeping you from being saved, get rid of it. Get it out of your life. Accept the Lord. But it says everlasting fire. Look at Matthew 25 verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. Matthew 25 and verse 41. It says, talking about the judgment of the sheep and the goats. You know, the goats are lost, right? And it says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into what? Everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Look at Mark 9. Next book over, go to Mark 9. Mark 9. It's repeated several times, three times actually in this passage, but look at verse 42. 9:42. Mark 9:42. It says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the depth of the sea. Into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Notice this, it phrases it different. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And it mentions that three times in this passage. So the fire does not go out. The worm, obviously a devouring worm of some kind, does not die. You see, hell is forever. The punishment is forever. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look at verse 7, 8, and 9. It says, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9. We're answering the question, what does the Bible say is hell forever? The answer is a definitive yes. It says, verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sound like somebody lost, right? Notice it says in verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know, as bad as hell is with the flame and the worm and the darkness, I think there'll be a keen sense that God is not here. Separation from God. Look at Jude 7. Jude 7. That would be verse 7 because there's only one chapter of Jude. Jude 7. Right before Revelation. Jude 7. Jude 7. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering, here it is, suffering the vengeance of what? Eternal fire. Eternal fire. Even in Isaiah 66, don't turn there. It talks, verses 23 and 24, it says, really kind of an allusion like we looked at. It says, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. Talking about those who go against God. Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2, speaking of the Jews. But it says, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So I think there's even a principle mentioned in the Old Testament. You see, is hell forever? Absolutely. Absolutely is. The Bible is very clear, unless you just choose not to believe the Bible. But the Bible is clear. We're in this series, The Glories of Heaven. Behold, I make all things new. Tonight we looked at new company. You know, the evil opinions and voices will be absent from heaven, because we will all know the truth perfectly. And we'll live. We try to ascertain and come up with the truth as best we can now from the Word of God, right? But there, we'll know it perfectly. We'll know it perfectly, and we'll live it perfectly. No evil protests in heaven. But can I tell you something about, as honestly as I know how? Although I may hate someone's position, although I may hate someone's stance on a certain issue, I may hate their ridicule of Christianity, I may hate their ridicule of our God, I want them and everyone to go to heaven. Really, I do. I mean, even who, you know, I don't consider anyone my enemy other than the devil. But even what others may consider me an enemy, and I can say the one that's more of my thorn in the flesh, I would not want my worst enemy to go to hell. Now remember, hell is forever, right? I want them to go to heaven by trusting Jesus as their Savior. And if God gives the invitation to salvation to everyone, including the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, even to the last book of the Bible. It's mentioned again, if you want to look there, Revelation 22. Notice, it's kind of a similar list, but in chapter 22 of Revelation, notice what it says. Look at verses. I've lost my place here. It says, blessed are they, verse 14, that do his commandments, and they that have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are, here it is, are dogs, sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and make a lie. But then you go down a little bit further, look at verse 17. It says, and the spirit and the bride say, what? Come! And let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's interesting that in these two places near the back of the book, it says these people will not be there, but the invitation is still open. Since God loves the people of the world so much that he sent his son Jesus to the cross to die for our sins, to Don't you think when he died upon the cross, he paid for the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars if they simply believe? And since I used to be an old, rotten, lost sinner until I got saved, and I'm still a sinner, but now I'm a saved sinner on my way to heaven. And since God tells me to share the gospel salvation message with all, even with the entire world and to the rottenest of all sinners, don't you think I have that responsibility to do as best as I can to see that these folks who are listed here get truly saved, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars? You know, I need to pray harder. I need to work harder. I need to share the gospel more with as many of people that fit into that category as possible. Don't you think? You know, we only have a short time left. We only have a short time left. And there's a whole lot of rotten sinners out there. But you know what? We ought to be able to relate to them because you were a rotten sinner too, and you still sin, but you're forgiven. I'd encourage you, as I find in these two chapters, it seems to me that our God is very concerned about the lost people. Even if they're rotten, he's concerned about them getting saved. He offers the invitation, the solution, right around these lists. So I think I need to be concerned about that too, don't you? If you would bow your head and close your eyes. We talked tonight about new company. There'll be no protests. There'll be no lost people up there. There'll be no sin up there, praise the Lord. But let me ask you, do you have a burden? It's a pretty common theme around here, which really it should be because we're a church. Do you have a burden for the lost? Do you have a burden for the rotten lost? Maybe ask God, God, give me more of a burden to reach the lost with the gospel. You know, we sometimes can be very judgmental, and rather than having a compassion about the people, we get angry. Maybe we should get angry about their positions, but we should never get angry toward those people because they're the ones that need the love of the Lord. They need to be saved. So maybe just ask God to give you more of a burden for the lost. More of a burden for the lost around you. And believe me, many of them around you are fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars. But they still need Jesus. They still need Jesus. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me encourage you, if anyone here is lost or if anyone's listening in by live stream and lost, can I tell you that you do not want to miss heaven? Can I tell you that you do not want to go to hell? Regardless of what some people may tell you, this Bible tells us it's a horrible place. Hell is a horrible place that lasts forever, a place of punishment and separation from God. I'd encourage you, wherever you are right now, would you be saved? Would you trust the Lord as your Savior? Would you call out to Him from a heart that really means it? And ask Him in prayer. Ask God in prayer. Say, God, would you please forgive me for all my sins, the things that I've done wrong? And would you say to Him, I believe that Jesus really was your Son. If you believe this, you can say that to Him. I really believe Jesus was your Son who lived a perfect life and died upon the cross to pay for my sins and then resurrected back to life. And I now confess Jesus as my Savior. Would you do that wherever you are? If you mean that from your heart, you can change your eternal destiny from hell to heaven. Would you do that tonight? Dear God, we thank you for your Bible and the clarity of your Bible. We thank you, Lord, for the glories of heaven. And Lord, that's what we've been mainly looking at. But Lord, in the midst of all that, you mentioned those that aren't going. And Lord, yeah, it's exciting to know that everybody will know you, that everyone will be on the same page, everyone will be perfect, but Lord, we can't help but our hearts be burdened for those who will not be in heaven, Lord, and help us to have more of a burden for the lost souls around us. We pray this in Jesus' name.